April 10th, 1902. How to Deal with the Erring, Ellen G. White. In the parable of the lost sheep is represented Christ's love for the erring, wandering ones. The shepherd who discovers that one of his sheep is missing does not look carelessly upon the flock that is safely housed and say, "I have 99, and it will cost me too much trouble to go in search of the straying one. Let him come back, and I will open the door of the sheepfold and let him in." No. No sooner does the sheep go astray than the shepherd is filled with grief and anxiety. He counts and recounts the flock. When he is sure that one sheep is lost, he slumbers not. He leaves the 99 within the fold and goes in search of the straying sheep. The darker and more tempestuous the night, and the more perilous the way, the greater is the shepherd's anxiety and the more earnest his search. He makes every effort to find that one lost sheep. With what relief he hears in the distance its first faint cry. Following the sound, he climbs the steepest height. He goes to the very edge of the precipice at the risk of his life. Thus he searches, while the cry, growing fainter, tells him that his sheep is ready to die. At last his effort is rewarded. The lost is found. Then he does not scold it because it has caused him so much trouble. He does not drive it with a whip. He does not even try to lead it home. In his joy, he takes the trembling creature upon his bosom. If it is bruised and wounded, he gathers it in his arms. With gratitude that his search has not been in vain, he bears it back to the fold. This lesson is for us. The agony that Christ endured on the cross testifies to the high estimate he places on the human soul. It was to seek and save the lost that he came to this earth. His mission was to sinners, sinners of every grade, of every tongue and nation. The most erring, the most sinful, were not passed by. His efforts were especially for those who needed the salvation he came to bring. The greater their need of reform, the deeper was his interest, the greater his sympathy, the more earnest his labor. His great heart of love was stirred to its depths for the ones whose condition was most hopeless, and who most needed his transforming grace. Those who accept the great salvation brought to them by Christ pledge themselves to be co-workers with him, to work as he worked, to love those in ignorance and sin, even as he loved them. Often the newly converted soul has fierce conflicts with established habits or with some special form of temptation, and, being overcome by some master passion or tendency, he is guilty of indiscretion or actual wrong. It is then that energy, tact, and wisdom are required of his brethren, that he may be restored to spiritual health. In such cases, the instructions of God's word apply. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. But how little of the pitying tenderness of Christ is manifested by his professed followers! There has been among us as a people a lack of deep, earnest, soul-touching sympathy and love for the tempted and erring. Many have shown great coldness and sinful neglect, passing by on the other side, keeping as far as possible from those who most need help. When one errs, others too often feel at liberty to make the case appear as bad as possible. Those who perhaps are guilty of as great sins in some other direction will treat their brother with cruel severity. Errors committed through ignorance, thoughtlessness, or weakness are exaggerated into willful, premeditated sin. Some, seeing souls going astray, fold their hands and say, "I told you so. I knew there was no dependence to be placed on them." Unless we cultivate the precious plant of love, we are in danger of becoming narrow, unsympathetic, bigoted, and critical, esteeming ourselves to be righteous when we are far from being approved by Christ. Some are uncourteous, abrupt, harsh. These do incalculable harm by their misrepresentation of the loving Savior. We must expect to meet and bear with great imperfections in those who are young and inexperienced. Christ has bidden us seek to restore such in the spirit of meekness, and he will call us to account for pursuing a course that will drive them to discouragement, despair, and ruin. He declares, "With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Can you stand before God and plead a faultless character? A blameless life? Often you have needed the forgiveness of Jesus. You are continually dependent on his compassion and love. Yet have you not failed of manifesting toward others the love Christ has manifested toward you? Have you felt a burden for the one you saw venturing into forbidden paths? Have you kindly admonished him? Have you wept for him and prayed with him and for him? Have you, by tender words and kindly acts, shown him that you love him? As you have associated with those who were faltering and staggering under the load of infirmities of disposition and faulty habits, have you left them to fight the battle alone? Have you passed these sorely tempted ones by on the other side, while the world has stood ready to give them sympathy and to allure them into Satan's snare? Have you said, like Cain, "Am I my brother's keeper?" How must the great head of the church regard the great work of your life? To him, every soul is precious. How then must he look upon your indifference with regard to those who stray from right paths? Be sure that he who is the true watchman of the Lord's house marks every neglect. It is not yet too late to redeem the neglect of the past. Let there be a renewal of the first love. Search out the ones you have driven away. Bind up by confession the wounds you have made. Many have become discouraged in the struggle of life, whom one word of kindly cheer and courage would have strengthened to overcome. Come close to the great heart of pitying love, and let the current of that divine compassion flow into your heart and from you to the hearts of others. Never, never become cold, heartless, unsympathetic. Never lose an opportunity to say a word that will encourage hope. We cannot tell how far-reaching may be the influence of our words of kindness, our efforts to lighten some burden. Mrs. E. G. White.